When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Pacific. Just a few quick notes, and then we're right into this week's episode, which, oof, this is one of my favorites. First things first, all patrons $5 and above get a postcard now. That's a new postcard every single month. If you're a patron and you donate $5 or more, and you're listening to this, hey, make sure you update your address, or else I can't send you postcards. If you're not a patron and you're interested in getting a postcard, in addition to things like bonus episodes, ad-free episodes, and other things, find us at patreon.com/scp_pod. And now, onto this week's patrons. A big shout out to Julie Schneider, Louis N., Katie Davis, Jessica Wilson, Jenna Tudor, Matthew Staten, Alex Diesel, Jennifer Klinkenbeard, Leandra Burt, Kyle Patrick, Suzanne PC, Joao Nobrega, and Cortland Dover. Thanks, guys. Your support means the world, and it keeps this show going, and allows us to do things like making postcards, community nights, and so much more. So thanks. And now, without further interruption, this week's episode.
Warning, the Foundation database is classified. Unauthorized access will result in detainment. Within this archive, you'll find the procedures, descriptions, and accounts of the most notorious anomalies we've encountered to date. Secure. Contain. Protect.
Item number, SCP-3008. Object class, Euclid. Special containment procedures. The retail park containing SCP-3008 has been purchased by the Foundation and converted into site. All public roads leading to or passing by site have been redirected. The entrance to SCP-3008 is being monitored at all times, and no one is to enter SCP-3008 outside of testing, as permitted by the senior researcher. Humans exiting SCP-3008 are to be detained and then debriefed prior to the administration of amnestics. Dependent on the duration of their stay in SCP-3008, a cover story may need to be generated prior to their release. Any other entities exiting SCP-3008 are to be terminated. Description. SCP-3008 is a large retail unit previously owned by and branded as IKEA, a popular furniture retail chain. Person entering SCP-3008 through the main entrance and then passing out of sight of the doors will find themselves translocated to SCP-3008-1. This displacement will typically go unnoticed as no change will occur from the perspective of the victim. They will generally not become aware until they try to return to the entrance. SCP-3008-1 is a space resembling the inside of an IKEA furniture store, extending far beyond the limits of what could physically be contained within the dimensions of the retail unit. Current measurements indicate an area of at least 10 square kilometers with no visible external terminators detected in any direction. Inconclusive results from the use of laser rangefinders has led to the speculation that the space may be infinite. SCP-3008-1 is inhabited by an unknown number of civilians trapped within prior to containment. Gathered data suggests they have formed a rudimentary civilization within SCP-3008-1. Including the construction of settlements and fortifications for the purpose of defending against SCP-3008-2. SCP-3008-2 are humanoid entities that exist within SCP-3008-1. While superficially resembling humans, they possess exaggerated and inconsistent bodily proportions, often described as being too short or too tall. They possess no facial features, and in all observed cases wear a yellow shirt and blue trousers consistent with the IKEA employee uniform. SCP-3008-1 has a rudimentary day-night cycle, determined by the overhead lighting within the space activating and deactivating at times consistent with the opening and closing times of the original retail store. During the night instances of SCP-3008-2, will become violent towards all other life forms within SCP-3008-1. During these bouts of violence, they've been heard to vocalize phrases in English that are typical variations of "The store is now closed. Please exit the building." Once day begins, SCP-3008-2 instances immediately become passive and begin moving throughout SCP-3008-1 seemingly at random. They are unresponsive to questioning and other verbal cues in this state, though will react violently if attacked. SCP-3008-1 is known to have one or more exits located within, though these exits do not appear to have a fixed position, making it difficult to leave SCP-3008-1 once inside. Using any other door besides the main entrance to enter the structure or breaking through the walls of the retail unit leads into a non-anomalous interior of the original store. Since containment began, 14 individuals have managed to exit SCP-3008. Following extensive debriefing, all individuals have been administered amnestics and released. Incident 3008-1 at 0037 on 2000. A human male exited SCP-3008, followed 10 seconds later by an instance of SCP-3008-2. SCP-3008-2 caught and killed a man before itself being terminated by armed response personnel. This incident represents the only time an incidence of SCP-3008-2 has been seen exiting SCP-3008. A full autopsy of the corpse was performed. The man was carrying an IKEA-branded journal, seeming to document his time in SCP-3008-1. Transcribed below verbatim.
So, I'm writing this to document what I can only assume is my sudden descent into insanity. I can't possibly be that bad of a navigator, and yet, as I write this, I've been trapped in IKEA for 2 days. Haven't seen another person in the entire time I've been here. That was a prank at first, turn the place to a maze, get all the people out and see how long it takes me to get lost. Everyone has a good old laugh. Realized that wasn't the case when I tried to backtrack. Everything had changed. So I ended up lost. Instead of the exit, it was just row after row of bookcases. So, I'm trapped in IKEA. Sounds like the setup for a bad joke. Well, that's went on at about 10 p.m. It nearly gave me a fucking heart attack. That loud electrical thunk sound and then pitch blackness. Place is full of beds, though, and my phone has a torch on it, but no damn signal. So I found a bed and went to sleep. Spent most of the next day trying to find my way out with no luck. Did find a restaurant serving those meatballs, though, so at least I won't starve. That's probably the punchline to that joke. Anyway, they were still warm and fresh, and haven't seen anyone around who could have cooked them. Made my way back to the beds before the lights cut out again, since it's too dark to search with them off. It's 9:10 a.m. now. Lights came on a little while ago. I'm sure I've searched the entire area around where I came in now, and the exit obviously isn't here. So I'm going to pick a direction and hope for the best. Day 3 of my magical IKEA mystery adventure! If I wasn't sure that there was something seriously weird about this place before, I am now. Walked for 3 hours in a more or less straight line, insert IKEA joke here, before I came across a ladder next to one of those huge stock shelves they have around here. Climbed up to get at my bearings, and it looks like this place just stretches on forever. Like that scene from The Lion King, except instead of trees and grass, it was all shelves and tables and crap. I did see a person moving not too far away, though, so I headed over. Thought it was a staff member at first. It was wearing the uniform, and hell, maybe it was. Maybe freakish 7-foot-tall monsters with long arms, short legs, and no faces are just the kinds of thing they want working at Super IKEA. Damn thing completely ignored me, though, and with no eyes or ears, I can't even be sure it knew I was there. Thought about shoving it or something to get its attention, but it's... hands were big enough to crush a watermelon, so I decided against it. Just kept moving along, and eventually I lost sight of it, so I decided to carry on the way I was going. Anyway, No comfy bed for me tonight. Looks like I've entered into the improbably hard and pointy table section of the store. Guess I'll have to make do with some bunched up tablecloths. Phone battery died during the day too. Didn't work anyway. But I feel like I've lost some sort of vital lifeline. You ever see one of those cartoons where they're going through doors in a hallway and they just pop out of another door in the same hallway? That's how I feel right now. I've seen nothing but the same identical bookshelf for 2 days now. Just row after row after row after row of them. I mean, come on, I love books as much as the next guy, but this is excessive. I'm always still moving forwards, though. I can see the signs hanging overhead passing by. Too bad no one say exit. Not sure who I was addressing that question to. Let's just say it was practice for the autobiography I'm going to write when I get out of here. I'll call it my perfectly normal trip to a regular old IKEA. Man, if I ever get out of here...
All right, so you guys know that I've been trying to lose weight lately. You know, I've been kind of on the bigger side for most of my life, but I've been able to drop a lot of weight because I've been trying to eat healthier.
You look good.
Thank you. The problem is I can't cook at all. Like, I'm basically
tasted your food.
I don't know if you guys ever heard of Factor Meals before.
Yeah. No.
Okay, so Factor Meals, it's like these easy, ready-to-eat meals that they'll send to your house.
I'm sure you've
heard of services that do this.
Yes, sure.
Where they send food, and what I actually really liked about Factor is it's like, it has to be kind of idiot-proof for me because I can't cook or do anything, but it's like ready in 2 minutes. It literally comes everything together. You don't have to
make anything.
It's all put together in its own thing. 2 minutes. It's not frozen, which actually makes it awesome.
Oh, nice.
You know, the frozen food.
Yeah.
It comes like in a box. It's like chilled, with the cooling stuff. But you got all kinds. So I did the keto one, but they also have like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus. They've even got so my wife ended up really liking these like energy shots.
Okay.
That they put in the box that we ordered, where it's literally like just a little shot of different kinds of energy shots that were awesome.
That sounds amazing.
I always was like, I'd see these commercials or I'd hear commercials for stuff, but I thought Factor Meal seemed like something that was really threading that needle and would have been really, really perfect for me. But dude, they had like pancakes, smoothies.
Who doesn't love pancakes?
Dinners and stuff like that.
Yeah. So they have breakfast?
They got like midday snacks. So I thought it was like perfect.
Get it in, get it done, boom.
If you're just looking for fast premium options and you don't have to really cook or be able to do anything.
Sure.
Factor is awesome for that kind of stuff. And I thought the quality of the meals, restaurant quality meals that I just could like heat and eat, dude. So it's not like your frozen stuff you get at the grocery store. So if you guys want to try Factor Meals, I'd say go for it because it's really helped me out. And I was actually really surprised. All you guys have to do is head to factormeals.com/badmovies50 and use code badmovies50. That's 50 to get 50% off. That's code badmovies50 at factormeals.com/badmovies50 to get 50% off. Guys, give it a try.
That's half.
I know.
Finally found some people. Yeah. Turns out I'm not the only poor bastard trapped in here. Lucky for me, I guess. My sixth night here, two of those staff things camped me in the dark. Different from the first one I saw, but still messed up. Heard them coming. They were saying that the store was closed and I had to leave the building, all nice and polite like. Not sure which part of that was weirder. That they didn't have mouths, or that they were apparently trying to kill me while they were saying it. Came at me like rabid dogs. So I legged it, sprinting through IKEA in the dark like a fucking madman. I saw it when I cleared another stand of those giant stock shelves all lit up with torches and floodlights. They'd built a whole town in here. Got a massive vault built out of shelves and beds and tables and whatever else. I swear to God, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Anyway, I guess they saw me coming, or maybe they heard my girlish manly bellows of fear, because they had a gate open and two people were there waving me in. Heard the staff thing slam into the gate behind me as it was closed, still politely informing us all that the store was now closed. They wandered off eventually, though. They called the town Exchange, because that's on the sign hanging from the ceiling directly above it. Exchange and Returns, all lit up against the night using lights they found and plugged into the power lines. And there are beds, and food, and people! Over 50 wonderful people with regular sized limbs and a full set of facial features. It's now my seventh night here and the first one not spent in darkness. A full week living in IKEA. There's probably a TV show in that somewhere. Now that I'm around other people, I'm starting to feel more normal. Maybe, well, maybe normal isn't the right word. But after a week with only the sound of my own footsteps for company, I was becoming increasingly sure I'd just gone nuts. That I was tied up in some padded room somewhere, banging my head against the wall. But no, I feel quite sane now, thank you very much. Apparently there are other towns out there. Some with more people, some with less. I found that fairly mind-boggling. How can that many people go missing with no one noticing? Surely, someone would have noticed that everyone who goes to IKEA seems to fucking vanish. Or maybe it's not everyone. Maybe we're just the lucky ones. People here just call those staff monster things the staff, by the way. Apparently, they are fine during the day, minding their own business, walking the aisles. As soon as those lights go out, though, they go fucking bonkers. So during the day, people go out, find food, water, whatever else they need. Apparently, there are restaurants and shops around that randomly get restocked. And no one knows how. Maybe the staff do it. Apparently, they aren't very good at their jobs, though, because the restocking sometimes takes a while. Which means the food needs to be rationed. Maybe if they weren't so busy chasing people around in the dark, they'd get more done. Anyway, when night comes, the staff go nuts, and everyone holds up inside the walls. It's the same everywhere in this place, whatever this place is. The IKEA, from whence all other IKEAs sprang. Or maybe we're all just in the regular IKEA, and this is some fever dream brought on by mind-numbing boredom. Who knows? Been here for 10 days now, by the by. Most of the people I ask say they stopped keeping track a long time ago. One guy, Chris, says he's been in here for years. Years. Apparently, there are rumors of people who do manage to get out, and of people who see the exit, only to have it vanish before their very eyes. I get the feeling not everyone believes that, but I do. Explains how I got stuck here in the first place, sort of. And I mean, come on. Staff monsters, row after endless row of high-quality Swedish furniture. I don't know why they would find a disappearing door that's so hard to believe in. I went scavenging for food at a nearby shop with Sandra and Jerry today. Once you learn landmarks of the place, it's not so hard to navigate. The overhead signs help a lot. But there are others, not too far in the distance. A huge section of those giant stock shelves has collapsed against each other. And way off in the east, well, we assume it's the east anyway. Apparently IKEA doesn't sell compasses. It's some kind of tower that looks like it's made of wood. Reaches all the way to the ceiling. Maybe they're trying to break through the roof. Lights up at night, so there must be people there. But it's apparently a few days' walk, which means it must be miles away. So no one here really knows for sure. Apparently I got incredibly lucky sleeping out in the open for a week with not getting ripped to bits by staff. That's me. Lucky, lucky, lucky. Found some food in the shop. Guess the staff restocked it during the night, which was nice of them. There's a telephone on the wall, so I figured I'd try it out. There's a voice on the other end, but they were just talking nonsense, random words strung together with no real meaning. You ever see a video of someone with aphasia? Kind of sounded like that. Didn't answer me when I spoke to them anyway, so... Sandra says all the phones in here are the same. I was thinking last night. The ceiling on this place is pretty high, and as far as anyone can tell, it goes on forever. Shouldn't there be some kind of weather in here? I'm sure I read about some NASA building that was so big it had some weather patterns with clouds and stuff. This place is definitely bigger than that, but now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure I've never felt so much as a temperature change in here. I'm going to add it to the grand list of weird bullshit. The staff attacked the exchange last night. Must have been 20 or 30 of them. All just asking us to leave the store, calm as you like, while trying to smash the walls down with their bare hands. Apparently this happens pretty regularly, so everyone is prepared for it. Knives from the restaurants, lawnmower blades, made hatchets, a fire axe. One guy, Wazem, even made a functional crossbow. Anyway, the walls have holes in them, which I hadn't noticed before. Specifically so we can stab out at the staff when they attack. Took a couple of them down myself. They don't seem to bleed, which is weird. But they go down as easy as a regular person once you start sticking holes in them. We had to haul the bodies away in the morning. The dead ones will attract more during the night, so we had to get them away from exchange. We have a couple of those trolley things they use to move big boxes around, so we load them up and took them over to pickup. Apparently people just name everything in here after whatever sign is hanging overhead. Pickup was Grizzly. There were hundreds, maybe thousands, a dead staff all piled up. There was no smell, which was a blessing. In addition to not bleeding, these things don't rot either. My curiosity got the better of me while we were unloading them, so I took a look at one of the more cut-up ones. They're just skin. Or something that looks like skin all the way through. No muscle, no bone, no organs. Are they really even alive in the first place? They certainly seem like they have bones when they're moving around, pounding on the walls. And I'm sure I felt more resistance than just skin when the knife went in during the night. Maybe something happens to them when they die. Just one more thing on the ever-increasing list of weird shit that goes on in here, I guess. You know, something occurred to me after the staff attack the other night. Every time you see a situation like this on TV or in a film, like it's the end of the world and everyone is trapped on an island or whatever, once groups like ours start to form, people always seem to turn on each other, fighting for food or dominance or whatever else. That hasn't happened here. People from other towns just come from time to time, just to check in, or occasionally to trade if they're short on something. But everything is always cordial, friendly even. Maybe it's a threat of the staff, or perhaps the constant restocking of supplies in the shops means there's nothing much to fight over. Maybe people are just better than they are generally given credit for. That's a nice thought. I think I'll go with that one. A dozen people showed up at the gates this afternoon from a town called Trolleys. Staff broke through their walls and tore the town apart during the night. These 12 are the only survivors out of over 100. We let them in, obviously. One more point in the human decency column. Later, I asked if anyone knew how many of these towns there were out there. Between us and the new folks, we managed to come up with over 20 names. 20 towns, filled with people. And who knows how many beyond that? The motto for this place should be, how is that even possible? Surely someone, somewhere, must be looking for the thousands of people that must be in here. I've been here for a little over 2 months now. Not that much changes, as it turns out. A couple new people show up, same story as the rest of us, nice little trip to IKEA, and suddenly they're trapped in Billy's bookcase's House of Faceless Weirdos! The staff attack the exchange once or twice a week. We kill them and haul their bodies off. Sometimes they hurt some of us first. He killed a guy called Jared a couple weeks back. It was awful, frankly. Turns out regular humans still bleed in here, even if the staff don't. We tried our best, but none of us are doctors. Jared was a good guy, and he deserved better. We all do. It occurred to me a couple days after that, none of us were really looking for a way out of here. I don't even know where we'd start. One of those quadcopter things with a camera attached buzzed past exchange today. I thought it meant that someone was finally looking for us, that help was on the way. No, it's not the first time this has happened, though. The same thing happened a few months ago, and everyone's still here. No idea if it saw us, too. It didn't stop if it did. Just kept on flying until we could no longer see it.
Note. Based on recovery time of the journal, this entry appears to line up approximately with our first successful test piloting a drone inside SCP-3008-1. Analysis of footage shows a walled settlement under a sign labeled Exchange and Returns. Attempts to relocate the settlement failed. Origin of previously sighted drones is unknown.
I started talking to people about the stuff they missed from home during dinner today. Probably not the best idea I've ever had. Everyone seemed pretty down after that. A bunch of people here had families, husbands and wives, kids, dogs. Franklin apparently has a pet llama, though I'm not sure I buy that. But some people have some seriously odd gaps in their knowledge. Three of them have never heard of the International Space Station. Two of them seem to think that was the Prime Minister, and one of them had apparently never heard of the Statue of Liberty. I believe them, too. They seem just as confused as the rest of us. The more I thought about it, though, the more it started to explain a few things. What if the reason no one is looking for all us missing people is because we haven't all come from the same place? This is going to sound weird, but what if all the people here have come from different dimensions? Realities? Whatever you want to call it. I've seen enough TV shows to know the drill. Sarah comes from a place where there's no Statue of Liberty. They didn't launch a space station where Wazem is from. If everyone here came from different places, even from ones that seem identical, There'd be no huge missing person panic. No mass search. We'd just be a blip. A single missing person in a world of non-stop news. Huh. That was a fun train of thought. Just realized that yesterday was the 6-month anniversary of my arrival here. Wonder if IKEA sells party hats. The routine around here has remained more or less the same. More new folks show up, one every couple of weeks or so. Food supplies go up and down. We've never actually had a major shortage. Occasionally we get a visitor from one of the nearby towns, usually checkouts or aisle 630. We check in with each other from time to time. Occasionally trade supplies if someone gets particularly low in something. It's comforting in a way. A reminder that we aren't alone in here. Some small glimmer of civilization. Sometimes they bring medical supplies. Apparently there's a pharmacy a few towns down from checkouts that gets restocked every now and then, so they share what they can. I've never heard of an IKEA with a pharmacy before, but at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if someone stumbled on an IKEA organ harvesting lab. It would certainly explain the staff. Speaking of our faceless jailers, their attacks have been getting worse lately. 3 or 4 times a week now, with twice as many staff as there used to be. No idea where they all come from, or why the attacks have increased. We tried following them during the day a few weeks ago, me and Sarah. Wanted to see if they led back to a staff room or something. Didn't seem to go anywhere though, just randomly walked through the aisles. We had to turn back before we found anything. We've been reinforcing the walls, trying to arm ourselves better. Certainly no lack of materials to use. Wazem has been making more crossbows, but it's pretty slow going. Too bad IKEA doesn't sell guns.
Note. No new personnel have entered SCP-3008 at site blank in the time span indicated in this entry.
The attacks are getting bad now. Almost every night. And with so many staff that the body is almost piled high enough for others to climb up the walls. I think we're in real trouble here. Exchange is fucked. I think exchange is done. We got hit pretty hard last night. Not many casualties, but the wall is wrecked. We finally figured out why the attack's been escalating, too. The box of supplies had a chunk of one of the staff in there. No idea how it happened. But a piece of one will draw them in as well as a full body. Too late now in any case. There's too many bodies for us to haul away and still have time to fix the wall before night. Candace has called a meeting. I suspect there will be a talk of abandoning exchange. Maybe try and get sheltered checkouts or something. It's already getting late though. I don't think we'll have time to make it. Maybe some of us will. I was fine for that first week out in the dark, after all. But then, how often can I keep getting lucky? I'm only writing this for a sense of closure, I guess. For me, or for anyone who finds this. If this is the final entry here, hope whoever is reading this is doing so from outside of this place. My biggest fear? If I do die tonight, I'll just wake up here again in the morning.
Note, this is the last entry. It is assumed that while attempting to reach the checkout settlement, he was separated from the rest of his group by pursuing SCP-3008-2 instance and happened upon the exit.
SCP-3008 was written by Mortos. Our host and narrator was John Grills. The Lost Logs of IKEA were read by Jesse Hall. Our music is made by the amazing Tom Rory Parsons. My name's Pacific Obadiah, I'm your sound designer and showrunner. And our producer is Tom Owen. This is a bloody disgusting show. For more information, visit bloody-disgusting.com.
Mm-hmm. Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.